Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Good little sports day shaping up, not only locally, where the Capitals are in action tonight at Capital One Arena, but nationally, where Notre Dame and Georgia are playing a college football playoff game. The law firm Condori and Murad is going to help you update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family. They sponsor this show. To schedule a consultation with their estate planning attorneys today, go to camlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's camlawyers.com. And listen up. It's a brand new year, 2025, our first show of the new year. Danny, everyone's making their New Year's, as I like to call them, revolutions.
Am I right?
One of the things you got to do is if you're a parent or a parent-to-be or you're getting older or whatever, you just got to do this important stuff. You've been putting it off. I'll do it one day. Kick off the new year with Condori and Murad. Set up an appointment. They will hook you if you tell them you listen to this show.
It's one of those incredibly important things that you don't think about, but you need to. That's what being a grown-up is. It's doing the thing you have to do instead of like just the fun thing. For example, we can't all sit at home and order Uber Eats eight different times like our boy Ryan Clary did. Can't you do that? You got to go see our guys and get that last will and testament done.
All right, it is time for our Beltway Blitz. We'll cover the Wiz and the Commanders. We start on the ice with the Capitals. And we welcome onto the Blitz for the first time, Katie Florio of the Capitals Radio Network. Katie, thank you very much. We appreciate the time. How about the Caps getting a nice little weekend win on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, well, first off, thank you guys so much for having me on. My first time, obviously, first year with the Capitals. So it has been quite a year to start with this organization. Obviously, a lot of fun covering this team and nothing better than starting 2025 at the top of the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, how surprised are you by this first season? I mean, you jumped in and started covering them this year. I can't imagine you thought you'd be talking about a team that might be the best in hockey right now.
Yeah, well, I think no matter what, that, you know, obviously they got a lot of attention this offseason with just how aggressive management was with the acquisitions they made. I mean, from top to bottom, all over, goaltending, defenseman, the blue line, and top six forwards. So I think we knew that, this would be a better team than last year, but I don't know if anyone expected, the production and the consistency that we're seeing from top to bottom. It's not, just one of the veterans or one of the stars kind of carrying this team. You have guys like Connor McMichael and Alexei Protas who are, have really stepped up even from a young age this year and kind of just shown the growth and the strides that they have made from last season. And so I know it can sound cliche, but obviously we're in the locker room every day after practice. And you can tell that, you've probably heard in the interviews that this team says, oh, it's a good group, we get along. But you can just kind of tell from a daily basis that this team is different. They are special. And what they're doing on the ice definitely starts with the leadership and the culture that's been built in the locker room as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of favorites when it comes to having a season like this. A couple of mine, and just want your reaction. Only twice, I believe, have they lost back-to-back games, and it doesn't turn into losing streaks. It doesn't turn into a swoon of 3, 4, 5. That happens in hockey to nearly everybody, right? That's one thing that I think is pretty remarkable. Two, it feels like lately they're winning a bunch of different kinds of games. A month ago was a lot of 5-4, mm-hmm. Let's play up and down like it's the mid-80s and half the guys don't have masks on. And then it's, recently it's a lot of 2-1, 3-1 kind of games as well. I love that they can win in multiple different ways instead of kind of a, I don't want to call it a one-trick pony, but maybe a one-style pony.
Absolutely, and those are two great points that obviously we're talking a lot about on the broadcast right now because that they are such main points. And like you said, I think kind of the back-to-back losses and not having many of those just goes back to the short memory, the quick turnaround with this team, and there really is no panic. I mean, from the coaches, from the players, the body language we see on a daily basis, like there is truly no panic in this team. They know who they are. They know what they're capable of, and they kind of show that confidence every day. But to your second point, yeah, I mean, in the beginning, we were seeing, you know, 5 goals, 6 goals, 7 goals a night. And so I would talk to, you know, Logan Thompson and Charlie Lindgren about just kind of, especially Charlie being here last year, how nice it was to have kind of some of that insurance this year as opposed to, you know, them trying to hold on for those 2-1, 1-0 wins last year. But like you mentioned, obviously maybe not that offense is down, but we, you know, have maybe not seen that high scoring as much as of recently like we saw in the early fall. But it just kind of goes back to my point from earlier. I think in the month of December, both Lindgren and Thompson combined have a 924 save percentage. Thompson, ace in the NHL right now in wins, but every other goaltender has played at least 23 games, and he is only at 19 games, 15 wins in his first 19 games as a Washington Capital. So it just kind of goes to show, you know, okay, if the offense isn't coming, well, we have, you know, two goaltenders kind of, and they've done a completely even rotation, as you know, all year. We really don't have a quote-unquote number one and number two. So it just goes to show, you know, what they're confident in. They're confident in both guys, and we have that from all over. So it's good.
Minnesota Wild, Washington Capitals, 7 o'clock puck drop tonight at Capital One Arena. You can listen to the game here on The Fan. Katie will be all over the pre and the post coverage. Thank you very much. We appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks,
our
Katie.
Pleasure. Be good. There's Katie Florio. Let's keep the blitz moving. And to talk about the Wizards, we've got our buddy Greg Finberg. Greg, why don't we start with the fact that they're playing better basketball? You look at the start to the season, in their first 24 games, they were 3-21. In the last 7 games, they're 3-4.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. You tweeted it out last night. I mean, they had 2 wins in their first 20 games, 4 wins in their last 11. If they beat New Orleans tomorrow night, they'll be 4-4 in their last 8 games. And honestly, the name of the game has been defense. This is a team that was ranked 30th in defensive efficiency throughout the first 2 months of the season. In December, that's dipped a bit. I think they're around 24, 25 now. And while that's not, you know, jump off the page numbers, you can see the buy-in is getting better on defense. And the one thing that has been consistent throughout the season and has kind of elevated them to some of these wins is the play of Jordan Poole. I mean, he's averaging career highs in points, in assists, steals, blocks, shooting 41% from three. And you couple that with the rookies kind of stepping up. Keyshawn George, who struggled a lot these last couple of weeks, has gotten a lot better. Bob Carrington has become a mid-range assassin. You got Alex Saar, who was just named Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month, shooting 46% from three. So everything's kind of gelling. And playing the Hornets twice, playing the Chicago Bulls, like that helps as well. But for a team that had 2 wins in the first 20 games to kind of be figuring stuff out, it's kind of been nice to see, and I think defense has been the reason.
Where do we stand with Kyle Kuzma? What's the latest there? You know, the rumor, of course, is that he wants a trade, and my counter would be, well, no one's done more to hurt their trade value than you, sir. So we'll try to oblige you, but we can't give you away for a high five. What's going on there with Kuzma?
Yeah, so the latest reporting from Mark Stein is that the Washington Wizards are looking to move Kyle Kuzma. They're kind of motivated to get a deal done. And while Kyle Kuzma hasn't asked out, I don't think Kyle Kuzma wants out of D.C. I think that the precedent is like, look, who's like, last year we were going to trade you to the Mavericks. They asked Kyle Kuzma if he wanted to go there. You know, it's on record that Kuz kind of said, no, I don't want to go there because I don't think Dallas is a contender. And obviously they ended up making the finals. Yeah. And I'm sure Kuz also, you know, publicly said he wants to see this through in D.C. He wants to be one of the guys that leads them through this rebuild. But it's kind of gotten to the point where I think if the Wizards were to go up to Kuz now and ask him if he wanted to be dealt, I think he would be more open to accepting that move rather than decline it. So I want to be, you know, clear that Kyle Kuzma has been asked out of Washington.
Okay.
But I think the Wizards are motivated to get something done. And this time, I don't think Kuzma would really step in the way of something getting done.
Do they have something here in Champagne? I mean, I'm not saying, you know, he shoots 80% and goes for 30 like he did the other night or whatever, but seems like there's something there in terms of a glue guy, energy guy who can knock down a shot, do a couple different things on the field. Do they have something here, or is it just a nice couple of weeks?
I think they do 100%. And look, this is a guy that when we were going through the roster in the offseason, you know, there has to be one cut. People thought it might be PBJ. It ended up being Jared Butler, and they brought him back. A lot of people thought it could be Champagne, and I was on record saying no, because this is a guy. I mean, if you look at his brother, they're pretty similar players, and his brother's killing it over in San Antonio. He's just a hard worker. He's a guy that averaged 12 rebounds per game in college, and he's only 6'6". Like, he gets into the paint, does the dirty work, you know, is a solid defender. And the fact that he's scoring now, I mean, career high 31 against the New York Knicks in a game I think the Wizards probably should have won if they had, you know, one more good player on that court down the stretch. 31 points, 10 rebounds. But the most important thing from that game, he shot 13 of 15 from the field.
Yep.
Like, that's unbelievable in an NBA game. 5 of 6 from 3, added 2 steals. He's still not on a standard NBA contract, still on a two-way deal, and I think the Wizards are going to milk that. I think you get 50 games on a two-way deal before you have to get sent down. So I'm sure they'll keep him there until after the deadline, and then maybe after the deadline they can give him, you know, a standard NBA deal. But he's a guy that gets it done in so many different areas. I don't think it's crazy to go on record saying he's been a top five player on the Wizards since being inserted, into the starting lineup. Ever since he got inserted, I think the Wizards are, 4-6? So he's clearly affecting winning. He's doing it on both sides of the ball. And I think, you know, by the end of the season, you'll see him on a standard NBA deal.
Greg, good info. We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Yep, thanks, guys.
All right, let's talk football. A gentleman whose company I thoroughly enjoy on game day, Mitch Tischler, Monumental Sports, joins us now. Mitch, we asked this question earlier. I want to pose it to you. Who would the Commanders have a better chance to beat in a round one matchup in the playoffs, the Bucks or the Rams?
I like the Rams. Certainly, I think both the Bucks and the Rams are a much better option, obviously, than Philly. But I think the Rams can be taken advantage of, particularly defensively. My one big holdback of playing the Rams is obviously playing Sean McVay, who might be one of the best offensive minds that's left in the playoffs, maybe best offensive mind left in the playoffs, and certainly he's somebody who could scheme up a lot of points for them against this Commanders defense. But I think that Rams defense is susceptible, and Jaden and company would be able to put up a bunch of points on him as well.
So you mentioned Jaden and company, and here's kind of my – it's basically one of those, like, not now type things, because I know nobody wants to hear it. They won 11 games. I'm so happy. I'm so excited. They're so ahead of schedule, and everything about it is so fun. But to me, they're basically, Mitch, Jaden Daniels and O over their last three games. They can't really stop anybody. The run and the pass, and now Lattimore's banged up again. Who knows what his prognosis is. There's not much talent going on out opposite Terry McLaurin. You know, no better case than in must-have-it crunch time in regulation, third and long, a pass goes right through Olamide Zaccheaus' hands, even though he's played well recently. It's still just a glaring example. Atlanta's got a chance to go down and win that game. It's an afterthought now. But it's Daniels and O. I'm a little worried about that. Whether it's him getting hit or something, it's not a great spot for anybody to be in, let alone a rookie. Give me your thoughts.
I mean, that's been the case all season. It's been Terry, Jaden, and player XYZ, and, you know, certainly Noah Brown played well for a period. Austin Ekeler obviously played well for a period, but that's been the plan on offense all along was, you know, let's see how Jaden develops and let's put the ball in his hands and see what he can do. And I think his development is further ahead than even the most optimistic Commanders fan may have had it, particularly in the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter and overtime leading all these comeback victories. But that's the team that you've assembled, and that's the team that's won games over and over this year. And other guys have played well in spots, but they played well because of Jaden. And to watch Jaden, as the season has gone on, mature and understand his responsibility and his standing with this offense and knowing that he has to put a team on his shoulders in the second half of the game has been impressive to watch. And quite frankly, that's what we've dealt with all year. So I don't think a whole lot changes as we look at week 18/playoffs.
Mitch, you were likely there today as Cliff Kingsbury spoke to the media for the first time, asked about his future. I thought his awkwardness in his answer was hilarious, where he kind of stumbled a couple of times, ummed and awed, and then said, yeah, I want to be a coach again. Made it very clear that he likes it here, and if he stays here, that would be okay too. But what did you make of that exchange?
Well, let me start off with applauding you guys because I was ready to jump down your throat if you open up this hit talking about Cliff Kingsbury's future, because I think it shows a little bit of the discourse around this team, how broken it is, in that we're getting ready for a meaningful Week 18 football game, and you can debate how meaningful it is, but certainly figuring out who you're going to play in the playoff game, you know, matters. Heading into playoffs, and we're talking about a coach that can't be requested for an interview until Sunday, and he can't even give an interview until 3 days after the Commanders play, you know, whoever they're going to play in the first round of the playoffs. I think, obviously, I'm not going to talk about, you know, the importance of Cliff Kingsbury, because clearly losing him would be a very, very big deal. But he's being paid through the Cardinals through next season. He has yet to accept an interview yet. And quite frankly, we have the next, you know, month and change plus to discuss what his future may or may not look like after this Commanders team, you know, gets knocked out of the playoffs. And so while it's interesting, I think, to, you know, start that conversation now, I just don't think it's that the most important thing that
Ron Rivera
as we talk about the Commanders this week.
Look at Mitch. You go. Mitch going full Ron on us. I mean, here, I'll push back on that a little bit in that it's A, it's a huge story. It's B, the story Absolutely. Of the day. And it's not like it's Sunday or that even Sunday's game. Like, if they were playing to get into the playoffs, I would kind of agree with you. Sunday's kind of a formality. Like, seeding matters, but it's a big deal if he's back or not. And it came up today. It's the story of the day, and it's certainly worth discussing. So that would be my two cents.
Yeah, well, Grant, let me ask you, who would you rather the Commanders play in the first round of the playoffs, and is it a big deal if it ends up being Philly instead of L.A. or
Sure.
Tampa?
We have a four-and-a-half-hour show. We could do all these things. We got – this ain't TV, buddy. We ain't doing 2 minutes. We got plenty of time. There's enough room.
You're going to hear us slap our gums on it.
There's
yeah.
enough room on this plate for everybody.
My point being that Cliff's a very, very important storyline, don't get me wrong, but I think that you talk about Week 18 being a formality, but we're talking about a defense that's been run all over, you know, lately, obviously a run game on offense that hasn't been particularly successful. And so while, you know, I don't think this game against Dallas is as much about Dallas as it is about Washington, I think talking about the things that Washington needs to kind of hem in and figure out as you start heading to the playoffs, to me, is a more important part of the dialogue. But certainly in a 4-hour radio show, you guys have plenty of time to get to the bottom of everything.
Yeah, we'll take out some shovels for you. I also always say I'm not the coach. They need to focus on the Cowboys. They need to address the stopping the run. I'll discuss those things. I'm able to walk and chew gum. They don't think about
it. They don't have that privilege.
Yeah, I'm not them. Thank you, buddy. Looking forward to, well, I guess our final ride is a home game, but depending on where they're at, maybe we'll be sitting near each other at a road playoff game.
I'm not holding my breath, but there's always a chance there's an NFC Championship game at Northwest Stadium.
That's
and
a good point.
There's a very good chance we could sit next to each other if that happens.
Yeah, rooting for the Packers,
what
right?
What do they think? What would that would be Packers
gotta
at
be the
Commanders?
Packers. That's it.
Listen, preseason, I had Packers Ravens as my Super Bowl. I don't love it as much as I did preseason, but I still feel okay about it.
All right. I love that. Good stuff from Mitch Tischler, Monumental Sports, on Grant and Danny. Yeah, let's pull for that. A little home NFC Championship game. What say you? Let's next get into the Philadelphia Eagles' decision to sit Saquon Barkley 100 yards away from the all-time single-season rushing record. They obviously have bigger goals ahead as a team that thinks they can win a Super Bowl. How they should have handled that? Did they do the right thing? You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
No, we're locked into that number two seed. So we're gonna rest some guys. There are gonna be some guys that are resting. There are gonna be some guys that are in reserve roles. You can't rest. You can't obviously rest everybody with the schedule. With the roster. That's our plan moving in here forward.
Is Saquon going to be one of them?
Yeah, he'll probably be somebody that rests.
That's Nick Sirianni talking with the Philly media. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Saquon Barkley is 100 yards away from the all-time rushing record for single-season yards behind Eric Dickerson. Dickerson went for 2105 back in 1984. So you're talking about 40 years ago,
man,
that this thing was set. And Barkley's got a chance to break that record, a record. Who knows how long it could hold. Could be a couple of years, could be 10, 15 years, could be the rest of his lifetime. He could be known as the single-season rushing leader. And in a one-game sample, based on his average this year, he would most likely get to it and blow past it and shatter it, and he would hold the record 2,100-plus yards for the season. But the Eagles, who are one of the best teams in the NFC, a two-seed, the Eagles who think they can get to a Super Bowl, who think they can go on a playoff run, who know they're good enough to win a championship, are prioritizing the postseason because they know if Barkley goes down, they're screwed. They know if any of their starters that they would play to help get him that record on the offensive line went down, that they have a worse chance. And so this is kind of one of those old school fun sports debates, I'd say. It makes for good fodder, and I actually want to hear what people think on the phones. We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines. But what would you do if you were Nick Sirianni in Philly? And maybe the decision's made above him. Maybe it's a Howie Roseman call. Maybe that they called Barkley into a room and they say, hey, man, this is totally up to you. We're going to present it as what we're doing one way or the other.
Yeah, I'd love to know what the conversation was.
But like, what do you think? I want to know how people would handle this. 800-636-1067.
So a lot of times when we come up with a discussion or there's something that happens in sports, I always try to understand a different perspective. And sometimes I just can't. Like, seriously, I just cannot get there. This is not one of those cases. I 100% totally understand an opposing viewpoint here, okay? So I would play him. And here is my thinking on this. Who won the NBA championship in 2018? I'm just asking anybody reflexively if they remember. The 2018 season. Anyone remember? What about 2019?
I'll say the Warriors.
Maybe.
That's my guess.
Yeah, the Raptors won at one of those times. Who's the all-time points leader? It's LeBron James. Who's the single-season record holder for a consecutive hit streak? Who won the World Series in 2016? You see what I'm saying? Like, those things are amazing. There are more for the fans, for the people that were part of it. It's amazing and it's incredible. Those banners fly forever. But there's only one all-time leader in the thing. There's only one of those. Oh my God, I can't believe it. Like, you don't remember. Grant Paulson, right? You're a sports savant. But you don't remember who won the Stanley Cup the year before the Capitals. 99% of you. You're going to remember when Alex Ovechkin passes Wayne Gretzky. The all-time record for goals is within reach. So if you had to sacrifice something here and there, which maybe the Caps did, honestly, in terms of rebuilding and a plan, you might have gone younger. You might have done a full teardown a few years ago post-Stanley Cup with, you know, the TJ Oshas of the world and the Nicholas Backstroms of the world not able to do what they were able to do for so long. But you couldn't because this guy's about to chase the record, and that made a lot of sense to me. This is kind of my only number one argument for it is when you have a chance to do something that no one has ever done before and it's not a bad achievement, you know what I mean? It's something that's incredible. It's as much a team accomplishment as anything else. Whether you win the Super Bowl or not, that is forever, and that's something that I would take pride in.
Yeah, every running back, every tight end, every receiver has blocked, has been a part of that.
Absolutely.
Everyone in the offensive operation, even in a tangential way, like less directly, everyone on defense who got the big stop to get the offense the ball back, who helped you win time of possession so that you could run the football more, who helped shut a team down so you could have a lead so that you could salt a game away on the ground. They all had a factor in this. Everyone at practice, on the practice squad that helped get Saquon Barkley and his teammates ready for games all season long, get to say that they were a part of something really, really special. Now, if you go on to win the Super Bowl, I think they would argue that's the special thing that we all want to be a part of. And I totally understand the risk and what it looks like. I mean, let's just look at the worst-case scenario for a second. They play everyone in a game that is completely insignificant for them because they cannot become the one seed and they cannot fall to the three seed.
Mm-hmm.
So they are the two. There is nothing to be gained by winning this game. And on the fourth carry of the game, Barkley pulls something or gets up slow limping and has a high ankle sprain and can't go in the first playoff game.
Right.
And then you get bounced from the playoffs. You look like a boob if you're Nick Sirianni. And that would be considered coaching malpractice. I personally think the juice is worth the squeeze. I think that the risk is worth it because this is not like trying to get him to 1,000 rushing yards or to 100 catches or to set a franchise record for yards in a season.
Yeah, it's not some like $100,000 contract bonus.
Totally.
You know?
Even if it was like the Eagles rushing record and he's 51 yards away, this is not that. This is every year, hundreds of running backs in the NFL rush the football. None of them have ever been able to catch Eric Dickerson in 40 years until Barkley could. I think you got to go for it. If I was Barkley, I would tell them I want to do this. If I was one of those linemen, I would tell them I want to do this. And you kind of keep your fingers crossed and you hope for the best that you don't get hurt. I mean, it's somewhat dumb that the Detroit Lions, in a game that meant nothing, went cross-country to San Francisco and played all their guys until the final second so that they could get a big moral victory, essentially, to make the building feel better.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of dumb, frankly, for any team that doesn't have something to be gained to risk injuries at the end of the year. Some coaches think that it's beneficial. Like, you can even argue, Danny, that they might be better off just going into the playoffs with the momentum of not taking the week off when they've already had a couple weeks now without their quarterback and they need to get into a flow and into a rhythm. By the way, he ran for over 100 yards in the first quarter against Washington. Why not have him start the game and see where he's at after a quarter? If you've given him 8 carries and he's at 14 yards, okay, maybe we say this is going to take 4 quarters and 23 carries. I don't feel great about this.
Or if he rips off a 22-yarder in the first possession.
He's a threat to score every time. If he's 8 for 51 in the first quarter, like, let's just get him the thing and get him out.
And I know you won't care about this, but again, this is the kind of thing for a player. It's why I wonder what the discussion was. And I'm not faulting anybody here. And again, I'm already promising you, you're not going to care. It's against the Giants, man. Like, I think that has to enter into the conversation. Where can you imagine the feeling of a player who didn't like how that all went down, right? We know that a little bit from the offseason television program, the Hard Knocks part of it. Didn't love the way the negotiation either happened or didn't happen or whatever. To be able to set that record against the team that drafted you and then ultimately decided you're not worth it, whether you was or wasn't, is a great debate. Can you imagine that? I mean, for a player to incentivize that, this should have been an option for him. This should have been part of the discussion. And if it was, and he said, no, you know what? I got bigger fish to fry. I'm bigger than that. Totally fine. Don't begrudge it. But to me, I think that's a nice little icing on top.
800-636-1067 is the number. I want to see what you guys think about this. It sounds like you and I, surprisingly, are in agreement.
Yeah.
I would have had him go for the record. You would have as well.
I would have too.
I think the easy kind of sports talk radio thing would be to sit here and say, Super Bowl matters, the record doesn't. You can't have him do that, but we're both on the other side of it. Where do you guys come in on this? Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Coach asked me, you know, what I like to do. We had a conversation. Call me back. Let me know that we're probably going to be resting. My reaction was kind of like I told my family. Obviously, my family, you know, probably wanted a little bit more than me. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is winning football games and winning the playoffs. So I got a big goal in mind.
It doesn't seem like Saquon Barkley, who you heard talking there, did a whole lot of advocating or clamoring, hey, you got to let me keep rolling, coach. I have to assume he didn't because of the video that we saw that came out. I don't know if you guys saw this. The mic'd up NFL Films interaction between Sirianni and Barkley during the Rams game when he had run for 255 yards in basically like 3 quarters against the Rams. I think he was closing in on a record. I don't know if it would have been yards in a game was in reach at that point, or maybe individual, like Eagles franchise record, whatever it is. But, you know, he had the chance maybe to go for 300 yards in a game, right? And I remember Sirianni and him kind of engaging, and he basically was like, hey, man, do you want to keep going? And Barkley's like, no, put the kids in. Let them eat. And it was one of those things like, I don't care about me, dude. Like, get someone else in there and let somebody else run. And so based on that interaction, I kind of felt like this would be how he felt at the end of the year. And it seems like it's more important to him, to his credit, to be ready to go for the playoffs, to be somewhat rested, and to have a chance to win a Super Bowl, which as a guy who's never really won anything in New York.
Seriously.
Than going and getting the record, which is admirable.
Yeah, I don't begrudge it at all, honestly.
I actually think that it's probably cool, and it says good things about him and his makeup. I just know that personally I would want it, and more importantly than how I would feel personally, on the outside looking in, I think they should give him a chance. I think you owe it to him in a sense. You definitely owe it to his teammates who have helped him without getting all the praise all year long.
He did set the single-game Eagles rushing record in that game that you mentioned against the Rams. He was 41 yards short of the single-game NFL rushing record, which, of course, went to Adrian Peterson.
296. I remember that game. So that's what it would have been. So he had, like, most of a quarter to still go break the record. And Sirianni's like, what do you want to do? And he's like, let somebody else go.
Sure.
I got 255. I'm good.
Yeah, so, and again, this is one of those cases where I totally understand any other perspective on this. Or and I'm not like angry at you or don't understand that if you have a different viewpoint on it. It also depends on the guy. Like, Barry Bonds was very open. I'd like to break this record that Mark McGwire set. He set out to do it, and he did. You know what I mean? Like, I don't hate that either. Like, whatever you want to do, whatever motivates you to play excellent at your sport, God bless you.
I would go in on Monday, and I'd put a 100 on the board. And I'd say, when we get to 101, you're all coming out of the game. Let's eat.
Mm-hmm.
Saquon? Right. Saddle up.
I would have left it open, decided previously with Saquon or whatever, and done exactly that. Would have been like, you guys don't know what's going to happen. Here's the deal. Write it on the board. As soon as we get that, everyone puts their feet up.
Or even told Saquon, come up in front of the team and let them know we're going to get in the record. You know, and do it in a way like we.
I'd rather go crazy.
I need all of you, you know. Let's go to Andre and Manassas on Grant and Danny. What would you do?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy New Year.
You too, buddy.
I actually think it's a pretty bad decision. Listen, you know, I think you got to do it for the position. I mean, the running back position has been a position in, you know, the last 10, 15 years where people just kind of just dismiss it as if it's nothing. And now you have an opportunity, not just for the running backs in the past, future, and the present and future running backs. Listen, I mean, I've seen all these running backs. The guy's name escapes me. I think he went to Georgia. He played for the Rams. And they used to do all these things where they took a knee or they fell down. Yeah, fall down right at the one-yard line, you know, before they get the touchdown. And then, you know, the injuries happen. They don't get the bonuses. They don't get all these. Listen, if you get this record, I mean, you're set for life. I mean, yeah, maybe the Giants, Jim Mora, Mara, might, you know, cut him a check. Hey, here's the bonus that you would get. But then, can you imagine all these commercials you would have for the rest of your life? You have this record. So
it's actually a great point. Yeah. Like, when he's long retired, Dre, I think that's so true. Like, he'll be at a Super Bowl on Radio Row with white hair, and he's the all-time leading. You know, he had the rush, even if it got broken, which I doubt. He was the rushing holder for 22 years.
Yeah, come by Saquon Barkley's Honda. You don't have to set the rushing record to get here in time for deals. Like, boom, of course it does.
Todd, Fredericksburg.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Happy New Year.
You too, buddy.
Hey, I don't think he should play. I think it's a team sport. You've got a lot of guys that will never, ever get another opportunity to make a run like this. Maybe their only chance at a Super Bowl. If Barkley goes down, their chances are you know, diminished greatly. So I think that they should sit him for the bigger picture. It's a team sport. You know, you mentioned Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds.
Don't you think it's a team accomplishment too, though, Todd? Or no?
Well, I do think it's a team accomplishment, but as an accomplishment as a team, I would rather have a Super Bowl than Barkley breaking a rushing record.
Of course,
which
I get.
Yeah, I get that.
There's no guarantee of the other one.
Like if you give the guy a choice right now, they go Super Bowl. But like, there's no guarantee of that. I guess it's kind of the counter.
It's a great call, and that's the other argument that goes opposite what we're saying, and it's reasonable. Like you, Danny, I see both sides of it. I happen to believe go for the record, but it actually is more sound to do what he's saying and what the team is doing, which is to stay healthy. The problem is you cannot get the record and then lose in any playoff game, including in the first one you play in, and you get a whole lot of nothing. Let's go to Tony in Fairfax. What's up, Tone?
Hey, Tone.
Hey, fellas. I'm with the previous caller on this one. I would probably opt to sit him. If he said otherwise, then, you know, I'd let him go play, but for the most part, I think they really went at it last week, giving him the rock 31 times to try and break it in 16. Is there a possibility that Barkley just doesn't think the record would be all that accomplished if he broke it in 17?
I wonder if that's part of it, honestly. Like, and they're probably going to go to 18 games at some point in the not-too-distant future. So maybe it's one of those, I can own it for 6 years until you know, I don't know, another Derrick Henry comes along and stays healthy for that long. I mean, who knows what goes into it? It just doesn't seem to motivate him all that much, which, again, is, I don't begrudge that. Whatever you're thinking. I mean, I don't think anybody got together when training camp's happening, in the middle of 100-degree heat in July and August, and goes, man, I hope we can set the rushing record this year, and that'll be that. No, you got together to go win a Super Bowl. It just so happens that you got to this incredible point because of everybody's health and excellent play and all the right circumstances are happening, and you got a chance to salt it away against the team that's going to pick in the top five overall that drafted the guy. It's just too prime of an opportunity for him.
That's the other part we haven't really brought up is you're playing the Giants.
Playing the Giants, man.
He would break the record against the Giants.
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing that wouldn't mean something to him. To see all those fans and knowing the videos that we saw of what Mara said, the GM saying, oh, who's going to pay him $12.5 million? To break that record against those guys has to mean that much more. Which makes it even more intriguing, fascinating, a storyline. It is a good question about 16 games versus 17 games. Would it have mattered to him differently? I don't know the answer to that. I will say I have no time for. You can miss me with 17 games isn't as impressive as 16 because he's run fewer times than Dickerson did. He's got 345 carries. Dickerson had 379. So if he breaks this thing, it's going to be in around 365 carries. It'll still be in 15 fewer carries. Mm-hmm. Respectfully, I don't care how many games you play. The attempts is actually the tell on who had a better season. He's averaging more yards per carry, and it's not particularly close, by the way. Like 379 versus 355, you're talking about a discrepancy of close to 30 carries between the two right now and 100 yards. Jamal's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Jamal?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, bud.
I definitely disagree with everyone saying the bigger picture for that. I mean, I get it. You want to win a Super Bowl, I get that. At the end of the day, this is a business, and I feel like we as fans, we lose sight of that all the time because we don't benefit from the business side of it. But at the end of the day, the players, like Saquon, there's no bigger bargaining chip for your next contract than, hey, I set the rushing single record X year, 2024. Boom. That, and not only that, to the first caller who said that it helps out the future runners coming. Like, sometimes I feel like you got to think about that as well. The ones that are coming after you. Like, we are at a time now where they pretty much dismiss running backs. You're the eighth player in the history of the league to only rush for 2,000, which is impressive in itself.
Indeed.
If you have a chance to go and set the all-time season record, I'm sorry. I feel like part of this has to do with the Jalen Hurts and Kenny Pickett injury. If those two things don't happen, I think they go for it. But let's just be honest. When you lose two quarterbacks in consecutive games, I feel like as humans, you start, all of us will probably think, okay, we got this wrapped up. No need to risk any further injury, especially to Saquon. And as far as the record being broken in 16 versus 17 games, that's a stupid point. A guy by the name of Orenthal James Simpson
did it in a lot less.
In 14 games.
Yep.
He set it in 14 originally, and nobody mentions that. So Eric Dickerson didn't even break the original record in the same amount of games it was set. So that point is just a stupid one to me. People should stop bringing it up.
No, it's a good call.
Great call, buddy. Yep.
All the way around. I
smell
think
what
you make
you're cooking there.
A lot of really, really good points. I like the idea, too, of the teammates. Like, I wonder if any of those guys, Lane Johnson or some of them, go, hey, I know it's a risk, but we'd like to help him get this thing. Like, the whole Dan Quinn brotherhood bit, you're doing it for him in a sense, too. If you guys want to hop in, you can. 800-636-1067. The Eagles did not waste any time this week. Sirianni's already come out and said Barkley's going to rest. He will not be gunning for those 100 yards in the all-time rushing record in their game on Sunday against the Giants. Man, would that have been a hilarious storyline if he would have done it against New York, his former team. Also, want to get into Cliff Kingsbury and the possibility of him walking. Would that be damaging to Washington, or is Daniels at the level where it doesn't really matter? He'll overcome. You're listening to Grant and Danny.